All right.
Hey, that is an unbelievable song. And I don't want you to answer. I just want you to think about your life and the way you view creation and God. And the question for us is this. Do you see how great God is? Do you yourself see how great God is? I mean, is God just the thing? I mean, you know, He's up there somewhere, but He doesn't really mess with us anymore. How do you see God? And as I was sitting there singing that, I thought about why we do this. I mean, why I do student ministry. What my heart's desire is, and it's this. It's that you would really get and you would see who God is. That all this love stuff we've been talking about, that it's true, that God really loves you like that. That creation, I mean, it really happened the way the Bible says. But more than any of that, that this indescribable, untamable, you can't put Him in a box, bigger than any amount of words and more than anything you could ever try to begin to explain or put a tag on, wants a relationship with you, a personal relationship with you. And I want y'all's eyes up here. The God of this universe, the God we just sang about, this how great is our God that we don't really even get how great He is, wants a relationship, a personal relationship with you. Now, I know across the board there are people that say, man, I'm thankful for that relationship. There are people that say, I'm not sure about that. I don't feel like He wants one with me. And there's people in this room that probably say, that's a bunch of crap. I don't believe that for one second. But I'm not as concerned about what you believe, because that's the truth. And one of the things that I think is true of our lives is that it is much easier to do and to say and to believe what is popular and what feels good. And what everybody else kind of believes and what makes sense. And the Bible flies in the face of all of that. We're going to look at something tonight that Jesus just jumped all up in the way people viewed a law from the Old Testament. And we're going to look at how for us, this is where it's going to attack you. Are you ready? Most of us in this room, I would say all of us, have the too cool syndrome at some time or another. And you know what I'm talking about. You're too cool to do this or to that, or you're too cool to get involved in the game, or you're too cool to scream at games, or you're too cool to volunteer in a class, or you're too cool. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You're too cool. And here's what happens. That flows into your Christian life. See, some of y'all are too cool to live for Jesus. Some of y'all are too cool to really get involved in the worship. Some of y'all are too cool to sing these songs the way you really feel in your heart like God wants you to. Because you're too cool and you got to worry about what everybody else thinks and what they see and what they say about you when they see you doing those things that aren't too cool. Now, that may not be true of all of you, but it's true of every one of us about something in some areas in our life. We're way more concerned about what people think than we are about what God thinks. And tonight what we're going to look at is something Jesus said to do that's going to really attack that. It's going to really challenge you to say, do I care more about what God thinks or what the people in this room are going to think or what my friends outside of this room are going to think? And let me tell you the right answer. You need to be worried about what God thinks, okay? He's the one that determines your eternity. He's the one, this great God, that desires this relationship with you. And your friends can't give it to you. You can't earn it. It's all about you getting who God is and walking in obedience with Him. So tonight, my prayer is this. That you would at least be willing to say, God, I'll listen to you. If what you say in your word tonight is true, I'll at least give it a shot. I'll at least give it the opportunity to change my life. So let's see what happens. We're in Matthew chapter 5. If you got your Bibles, get them out. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. And we're starting in verse 21. And he says this. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, raka, which is a Hebrew term for contentment, which Laura Moore and I found out earlier, is answerable to the Sanhedrin, who was the law body at that time. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Now listen to this. Therefore, because of that statement, because I'm redefining for you this idea of hatred, okay, and what murder really is, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Now what in the world is that talking about? Okay, here's the deal. The Old Testament, the law was do not murder. Okay? Thou shalt not murder. Jesus is not arguing with that. What he's doing is he's coming to really redefine and help us understand what was going on. And he's moving us away from this legalistic idea of the law, you shouldn't murder. Okay, I get that. And he's explaining to us what that's really talking about. And he says this. He says, you've heard that said don't murder. Okay, well, I'm telling you this. This is what that really means. This is what he's saying. What really do not murder means that if anyone, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Okay, he's saying don't murder. That's great. But let me break it down for you like this. If you get angry with someone, it's just as bad. If there is anger or bitterness in your heart towards another person, mom, dad, brother, sister, enemy, relative, random person, does not matter. If there is anger in your heart towards them, it's the same as you killing them. Why? Because it's a sin. And so he's saying this. Let's go on. You'll be subject to judgment. Again, I say, okay, if you say to your brother, which is this term of contentment, it's this term of I hate you. Okay? Y'all got a big brother or a little sister or little brother or whatever? Everybody got one? Or maybe you are that? How many of y'all, those words have ever come out of your mouth in a fight with a sibling? I hate you. Don't lie. Y'all are all lying because every one of us have said that. Okay? I hate you. I mean, it can be when they took your crayon or they took some clothes or maybe they wet your bed one night. I don't know. But there have been a time, if you've got a brother or a sister, where you, I mean, not just like, oh, I hate you. Like, I hate you! Right? Right? Okay. All right. Now focus back up here. Here's what he's saying. Anyone who says that, okay, anyone who goes down that road, even to the point to say, you fool, even to the point to say a harsh word, even breaking it down to just be mean to somebody, is in judgment, it stands before God and is under judgment. And you are just as guilty as the man who committed murder. That's a big deal. I don't want y'all to miss that. Because here's why it's a big deal to us. Every one of us struggle with this. Every one of us has been angry with somebody. I guarantee you've been angry with a mom or a dad before, or a brother or a sister. You've been angry with a teacher. You've been angry with somebody on a team or in a club or just a friend that can beat you at a PlayStation game and you thought you were the best. Or their hair always looks perfect just because it's just right, and yours looks like you have a bad hair day every day, and so you hate them. Whatever the case may be, we have all had this issue of anger or hatred towards a brother. Now, why is this a big deal? I want you to look at what Jesus says, okay? Verse 23. Because of this, okay, you get this, that I'm equating here anger towards a friend or anybody with murder. They're equal, okay? Now, the consequences obviously are different, but as far as the sin issue goes, they're equal. And he says this, because of that, I want you to get this. If you are offering your gift at the altar, if you are singing a song to God, if you are having your quiet time, if you are reading your Bible, if you are praying, if you are doing anything as an act of worship, anything at all, and you realize that your brother has something against you, leave it there and go deal with that problem, because God does not accept your worship. Here's what we're really good at doing. We are very good at compartmentalizing our life. And you see, here from 5:30, or maybe even just from 6:40, when Brian gets up to speak, to the time it's over, that's our God time. And that's when we're good people, and we don't talk out loud because Brian asks us not to, and we don't cuss as much, and we don't punch people, and we're just a little nicer, and that's our God time. And so we offer that to God, and He's so happy with me when I leave. Here's the reality. Here's what Scripture says. If you haven't lived like that the rest of the time, God doesn't accept your worship. If I have an issue with Clay, and I can raise my hands as high as I want or close my eyes as tight as I can, and I can sing to God with as much voice as I have in me, and God does not accept my worship until I go to Clay and I get that issue right. But here's what's crazy. He doesn't just say, okay, if you're worshiping there and you realize, oh man, you're mad at that person. No. He says, if you realize your brother has an issue with you, hey, I didn't do anything to Clay. He's just mad because I'm cooler than he is. Well, you know what the Bible says? If you know Clay's got an issue with you, go deal with it. Because if you don't, God doesn't accept your worship. Let me make it visual for you. I want your eyes up here. If these relationships aren't right, our earthly relationship's not right. This is not right, our relationship with God, period. I don't care if it's one person or 100, or if they're really, really mean. It doesn't matter. If these relationships are not right in this room, in your school, in your house, if these relationships are not right, your relationship with God is not right. Okay? That's big. Because most of you think that our relationship with our friends or our parents doesn't have anything to do with our relationship with God. And God says they're intermingled. And as a matter of fact, before you even come to me, you need to deal with this. Right here. Right here. This is what you got to deal with. Well, why? First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come offer your gift. Well, why do you have to do that? So that you can worship God. You can worship. You know, you got, did you know this? This may be revelation to you. You are all worshipers. Y'all catch that? You're all worshipers. Now, you may not worship God, but you worship something. Something has the affection of your heart. Something has your mind all the time that you think about. Jill. Something has the catches your eye. There is something that you worship that your heart is set on. Now, it may not be God, but here's the deal. You were created to worship God. You were created to worship this awesome God, this indescribable God, this how great is our God kind of God that we sang about tonight. But here's the deal. If you got an issue with a person, a brother or sister in Christ, or anyone for that matter, you can't worship God. He does not accept your worship. Get that away from me. It's not worthy of me. Why? Because you got a sin issue. It is a sin for you to be angry at someone. It causes a root of bitterness, and there's some practical reasons, but it is sin because God says so. But it's beyond that. If you know Jay is, I mean, I know Jay's mad at me. I didn't mean to do it. It was an accident. But I accidentally stole his girlfriend and went out with her. I mean, it was an accident. She wanted to go out with me, and I'm not, obviously not really me. But I knew. I mean, I didn't mean to. She liked me better, okay? She likes the bald head kind of guy. And so I didn't mean to. And here's the deal. I'm not mad at Jay. I got the woman. But he's mad at me. Before I do this right here, oh God, I love you. Please change my life. You know what I got to do? I got to go to Jay. And I got to say, Jay, I'm sorry. What I did was wrong. I apologize. I went behind your back. I was mean. I was not a good friend. Whatever you need to say. And then you come to God and say, okay, God, now I worship you. Now, here, why? How does that attack us? It's like this. Most of us are too cool to do this. Most of you would not dare, would not even begin to imagine having to go to somebody and kill your pride enough to say this, "Man, I'm sorry I did you like that. I'm sorry I was mean to you. I'm sorry I was rude. I'm sorry I heard those hurtful things. I'm sorry, and I apologize. And I'm asking for your forgiveness. God has taught me that I need to treat you better, and I'm sorry." Some of you, you don't even think this is real. I mean, some of you, you think it's funny, because, you know, we just talk a smack, whatever. But deep down, there's been some times. There's some anger issues, or there's some hurt words said, or there's something. Or maybe you know there's somebody that's mad at you. They got an issue with you. You need to take care of that. And I'm going to break it down like this. It starts in this room. As brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're a Christian in this room tonight, it starts there. We talked about last week, the world will know us by the way we love each other. And if you guys don't love each other right, the world gets a distorted picture of who Jesus Christ is. And so it starts right here. It goes out to your friends. And I want to say this. Many of you, eyes up here please. Many of you treat your parents like dogs. You're disrespectful. You talk back. You're not obedient. Guys, that's a sin issue. And you can think whatever you want about that doesn't have to do with your relationship with God. God says, "I don't accept your worship." Even if your parents don't deserve to be respected, even if they don't deserve to be kind to, even if they don't deserve to be obeyed, the Bible says you obey them and you submit to their authority. And guys, if you got an issue with your parents, you need to deal with it. As much as it's going to hurt you to say it, you need to say, "Mom and Dad, you're right and I'm wrong. Period. I'm going to do a better job at obeying you. I'm going to submit to your authority, even when it hurts, because I want to honor God." This isn't just about your parents. It's about honoring God. And God says, if you want to honor me, then you honor your parents. God says, if you want to honor me, then you be kind to your friends. If you want to honor me and you want your worship to be acceptable to me, then you get these relationships right here. It may be an estranged friend that you haven't talked to since third grade because he ate your glue one day. But you need to get that right. And I'm just going to tell you, because I've been there. When I first heard this passage, when it first clicked to me, there was a guy that was actually on staff here. I'll just tell you, y'all know Mr. Ronnie? Okay? I'd said some things that I shouldn't have about him. I mean, 3 or 4 years before I read this passage and it really made sense. And I really felt convicted. I need to go to him and apologize. And the next thought in my head, which has been the next thought in some of your heads, was, "That's stupid. He doesn't even know you said him. It doesn't matter. Doesn't make a difference." But you know who does know? God. You know who it does make a difference with? Your relationship with God. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, I fought it for a while. And I mean a couple weeks. And eventually I was like, "Okay, God, I get it. I need to do this." And I went to him and I said, "Ronnie, I said this and I let this be said about you. And I didn't mean it to be hurtful. It was just part of the conversation, but I'm sorry. And I want to ask for your forgiveness." Now, he said, "No problem, dude. I understand. Things happen. It's no big deal." And we were good friends. We talk all the time. But it was a big deal. And what you need to know is this. As a youth pastor, as somebody in ministry, God was not accepting my worship while I had issues with a brother. That's a big deal, guys. Because that's what we do here. This is called a worship service. Our lives, we are called to worship God. That's a big deal. And so here's the challenge for you tonight. It's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard. I want you to put some feet to your faith tonight. Okay? Daniel's going to come up here and play. And we're going to take some time, and we're going to be obedient to this passage of Scripture. And I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to start right here in this room. And don't look around, but I want you to think. God's already laid these people on your heart that you need to deal with. Is there anybody in this room that you need to either forgive or you need to ask forgiveness? If there is, you need to do it tonight before you walk out these doors. Some of y'all need to get on your cell phones and call somebody. If you need to leave them a voicemail, call them and apologize and say, "I'm sorry. I'm a bad friend. I said this about you, or this was said and I didn't say anything, and I want to apologize. I was mean to you. I was hurtful. Mom, Dad, I'm a horrible kid. I'm disobedient. I don't respect you, and I'm sorry. And I want to honor God by honoring you." Hey, guys, I know that is a ridiculously hard thing to ask of you, but following Jesus ain't easy. And if you want your worship to be acceptable to God, that's something we've got to deal with. If you just want to go through the motions and the routine and just keep coming to church and doing the church thing and living your life out there, and you really could care less whether God's really evident in your life, then you just sit right where you are. And you don't worry about the people that you've hurt. And you don't worry about the people that are mad at you. Don't worry about it. But if there's something within you that says, this makes sense, that says, you know, I got to deal with this, then do it. Don't be too cool. That's what Satan wants. And Satan's a big punk. I hate Satan. If he was here, I would kick him somewhere. But Satan wants your butts to be glued to those seats. He wants you to be right where you're at, thinking that you and God are fine. And some of you, guys, maybe not all of you, but some of you, God is not, you and God are not okay, because you are not okay with these relationships right here that God has given you on this earth. So Dana's going to sing and play. If you don't have a relationship like this, hey, would you at least do this for me? Pray, God, if there's any relationship, please show me. Please show me. Maybe you know of one. Man, would you be willing to trust that God's going to give you the courage to do it? And just act on it. Just do it. Don't buy the lie that Satan wants you to believe. Let's pray. Father, I just pray now for students that know they need to do this. Oh God, would you give them courage? Would you shut the mouth of Satan, God, and let him not lie to them? Let him not think that it's okay. Father, I pray against fear. I pray against anything that's keeping them in their seats, God. I pray that you would help us tonight restore broken relationships so that we can come before you at your altar and our worship would be acceptable to you. God, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.